So as we come to look at this encounter with Jesus, and the last one in John's Gospel, let's pray for God's help. Father, we thank you for John's Gospel. We thank you for what it teaches us. Help me now, by the power of your Spirit, to speak faithfully to your word. And may you open the hearts of all who listen, by the power of your Spirit, to hear what you are saying to them. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I don't know if you ever liked listening to Lionel Richie. When I was a teenager, I had a friend who was very into him. And one of the best-known songs by Lionel Richie is Three Times a Lady. You might know how it goes. You're once, you're twice, you're three times a lady. And I guess the sentiment is that being once lady, well, that's pretty good. Twice lady, that's fantastic. Three times, that's really, really good. And this idea of things, threefold things, three times happening, shows that they're important. So if you want to say something's really important, you might say it's really, really, really important. It's that threefold time that shows it. Or if you want to say something's important, you might repeat it three times. Tony Blair was famous in 1997, and that's going back not quite as far as Lionel Richie, but quite a long way. He said his priorities for government when he started off as Prime Minister were education, education, education. He wanted to show that it was his most important priority, the key thing he was after doing. And also, though, we also want to show that when things happen, maybe unexpected things happen, if they happen once, we can put that down to just an oddity. If they happen twice, we might say that's a coincidence. But if they happen three times, then actually maybe we need to start to think that this is not something unexpected, but something normal. I guess that's part of the idea in sport as well, isn't it? So when we tell people to, in an auction, when you're trying to say that something is nearly finished, the bidding is nearly finished, you say going, going, gone. The third time, it's definitely gone, it's completely gone. But by saying it three times almost, you make that clear. And in sport, in baseball in particular, there's the idea of three strikes and you're out. If you miss the ball once, well, we'll give you another go. Twice, oh, maybe unlucky. Three times, you're clearly not going to get it, you're out. That's that sense of three strikes and you're out. This threefold idea comes up again and again in all sorts of ways. If something happens three times, then it becomes normal. If something's said three times, then it's definite, it's certain. And this idea of threefoldness comes up again and again in the passage we looked at in John chapter 21. I'm going to skip over the first 14 verses, the appearance of Jesus on the shore of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, as it was also known, to those seven disciples that are listed there in verse 2. But note that it says in verse 14 that this is the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples. The previous two times were in Jerusalem, they were inside a locked room. This time, it was far away in Galilee, the disciples had gone back to their home region. It was on a beach, not inside a room. It was a completely different appearance. Any doubts that the disciples may have had that those resurrection experiences in Jerusalem were just sort of some strange, weird experience, now Jesus confirms them by appearing a third time. That his resurrection is not just a weird vision of theirs. This is reality. It confirms the reality of his resurrection. He's definitely appeared to them. And John wants to make that clear to us. He wants to have us to have confidence in the resurrection of Christ. But Jesus doesn't just come to the lake of the Sea of Tiberias, the beach, to spend time with his disciples and show them that he's definitely resurrected. He also has some loose ends to tie up. And the most important of those loose ends is Simon Peter. And so I want to focus on Simon Peter's encounter with Jesus in verses 15 to 19. Because there's something really important going on here that we need to see and understand, and there's so much that we can learn from these few verses. But to understand the verses, we need to understand the backstory. We need to know what's happened with Peter and with Jesus in the rest of John's Gospel, because in a way, chapter 21 is a kind of epilogue, a follow-up from really the completion and conclusion of the Gospel at the end of chapter 20. So what is the backstory? First of all, of course, Jesus has died on the cross before being resurrected. And Jesus had prepared his disciples for this. He'd been talking about it again and again. And when we come to read the encounter that Peter has with Jesus, where Jesus asks him that question three times, "Do you love me?" We need to remember that the cross is that most powerful expression of Jesus' love for us. And Jesus, when he prepared his disciples for the cross, said this to them in John 15, 13, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." That's what love is. Laying down your life for someone. And those words, laying down life for someone, they come up a few times in John's Gospel. Actually, way back in John chapter 10, Jesus had already been preparing for disciples for the fact that he was going to die. And in our passage, in the encounter with Peter, Jesus talks as though he's a shepherd, doesn't he? And his followers are the sheep. That's what he means by "feed my sheep" or "feed my lambs." And back in John chapter 10, Jesus talks about himself as the good shepherd. But what does the good shepherd do? Well, he lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus says that a few times in John chapter 10. Verse 11 there is one of the prime examples. Jesus expresses his love by laying down his life, and he shows that he's a good shepherd by sacrificing himself, by laying down his life for the sheep. So this idea of laying down one's life for someone else as love and as the role of Jesus is important. And yet we need to go to a very important event of Jesus' encounter with Peter before the cross. You may remember we did a sermon on Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Well, after that incident, later on that evening, Jesus and Peter have another conversation. And in that conversation, Jesus is talking about the fact that he is going to go. He's going to lead them. He's going back to the Father. And Peter says this to him. And Jesus says, first of all, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." And Peter's bemused by this. Peter says, "Jesus, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Remember, Jesus has been saying that he's the good shepherd. He's going to lay down his life for the sheep. But now Peter's saying, look, Jesus, I'm prepared to go with you. I'm prepared to lay down my life for you. Don't think about it the other way around. Let me be the one who sacrifices. And Jesus says, no. Actually, Peter, you don't really know what you're talking about. He says, look, will you really lay down your life for me? Again, Jesus picks up on those phrases, that laying down, that life again. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." You don't know what you're talking about, Peter. And then in John chapter 18, after Jesus that evening is arrested and put on trial, Peter follows him and he's in the courtyard of the high priest. And three people ask him, "Are you a follower of Jesus?" And each time he denies it. And then the cock crows. Jesus is disowned by Peter three times. That threefoldness. Three strikes and you're out. And Peter feels that he's out. A failed disciple of a crucified teacher. But that was then, and this is now. And Jesus is at the Sea of Tiberias, on the beach, talking to Peter. And as he does so, they have this threefold conversation. It's almost the same things repeated three times. And so there's this sense that this is something really important, this is something really crucial, this is something to be confirmed three times. And then each time there's a question by Jesus, and it's more or less the same question. There's an answer by Peter, and it's more or less the same answer. And then there's a commission by Jesus, and it's more or less the same commission. Three things that are going to be emphasized here. And we've got so much to learn from each of these things, so let's get on with it. First of all, the threefold question is all about the love of Jesus. Jesus says to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Remember, Jesus is going to commission Peter to look after the flock, to look after the sheep, to look after his followers. And what's the most important question for this leader of the church? Do you love Jesus? I have to say that in all the interviews I had to become a vicar, to be ordained, to become appointed as a vicar here or anywhere, no one's ever asked me that question, do you love Jesus? And yet clearly for Jesus it is the foundational question. More than anything else, love of Christ has to be the foundation of all that we are about in church. You see, it's so easy to let important things about church life become the foundation, to take that place of Jesus. So a desire to hold to the truth of the Bible, yes, it's great, but don't let that become your foundation. A passion or a love of praising God in music and worship is great, but don't let that be the foundation. A desire for mission to go out and make sure the gospel is proclaimed in all the world is fantastic, but don't let that be the foundation. A desperate, a real concern and love for the people in the church is so crucial, and yet don't let that become your foundation. What must be the foundation of being a Christian? What must be the foundation of any service in the church? What must be the foundation of this church? It is to love Jesus. Simon Peter, do you love me? Jesus says. That's what really matters. Do you see how it's the foundation? You see, when we love Jesus, then we will know that his word is the truth and we want to follow it. When we love Jesus, then of course we want to praise God in whatever creative ways we can, including musically. When we love Jesus, we'll want to proclaim to the world the good news about Jesus. And when we love Jesus, we want to care for those that he has called to be his followers. Love of Jesus is foundational to all these other things, these other aspects of the church and more. But if we allow those things to become the foundation instead of love of Jesus, then we're not really on the right way. And actually, love of Jesus is something more important than that. Love of Jesus is about sacrifice. Remember, Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his sheep." Sorry, that lay down his life for his friends. And when Peter and Jesus are having that conversation after the washing of the feet incident, and Peter says, "Look, Jesus, I want to follow you," and Jesus says, "No, you can't follow me now, but you will follow later." Well, at the end of this passage, Jesus describes to Peter what following him later will mean. Notice that the last words are, "Follow me," to Peter. But Jesus says to him, "Listen, this is what will happen to you. When you're young, you can dress yourself, you can tie your own belt, you can go wherever you like. But when you're older, people will stretch out your hands and they'll bind them and lead them where you do not want to go." What does Jesus mean by that? It's a bit of an obscure phrase, isn't it? Probably, we're not sure, but when people were crucified, their arms were stretched out, their hands were stretched out, and they were bound to the beam that they would be pinned to in the crucifixion. And then they'll be led carrying that beam with their arms bound to the place of execution. John says that by this way, Jesus showed the kind of death by which Peter would glorify him. And tradition has it that Peter was crucified about 30 years later in Rome. So what Jesus seems to be saying to Peter is, look, Peter, you just expressed your desire to follow me. You expressed your desire to lay down your life for me. You want to show to me how much you love me, and that will happen. You will die for me. But not yet. When you are older. Before then, I got things for you to do. I got ways for you to serve me, to look after my sheep. Your love for me will be expressed in the laying down of your life. Just as my love for you, Peter, has been expressed in laying down my life for you. But not until you're a lot older, not until you've done a lot more. And for us, we need to see that love of Jesus does involve sacrifice. For most of us, if not all of us, we'll never have to give up our lives, literally, for Jesus. And yet Jesus calls us to give up our lives. Not to die for him necessarily, but to serve him, to make sacrifices for him. If you're not willing to sacrifice for Jesus, if you're not willing to give up time, energy, money for his work, then do you really love him? And if you don't really love him, then should you really be serving him? Before anything else, make sure your heart is in the right place with Jesus. Make sure that you love him fully. And if you don't love him fully, or your love is waning, go back to the Gospels. Go back and read John and see who Jesus really is, what he's really done for you. See that he's the one who laid down his life for you, that you may be saved. The first question for Simon Peter is, do you love me? The second question for Simon Peter is, do you love me? And the third question for Simon Peter is, do you love me? This is what matters. This is what's important. But Peter's answer is almost the same each time, isn't it? And actually, the way he answers shows that he's learnt humility before Jesus. We see that partly because, I mean, the first time Jesus asks Simon Peter the question, he says, do you love me more than these? And Peter could have said, well, of course I love you more than these. Look, when we were in the boat and we saw, realized it was you on the beach, Jesus, who was it that jumped out of the boat and into the water? It was me. When you said, go and get the fish, who was it that went to get the fish? It was me. I'm the one more than anyone else that wants to serve you. I'm the one more than anyone else that wants to be with you, Jesus. Surely you can see that I love you. Surely you can see I love you more than these. And yet Simon Peter's learned his lesson. A lesson I think that Jesus is testing here by saying, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the other disciples? You see, earlier Simon Peter thought he was the one who loved Jesus more. In Mark's account of Jesus telling Peter that he'll deny him three times, Peter says, look, even if everyone else deserts you, I won't desert you, Jesus. Look, I'm more committed to you than anyone else. But then Simon Peter showed he wasn't. Simon Peter was the one who denied Jesus three times, not any of the others. He knows not that what matters is not how well you compare with other Christians. It's not a competition to be Jesus' favourite. No, what matters is, where is your heart with Jesus? Do you love him? You see the humility coming through? And actually, we need to learn humility in our service of God. It's not about how we compare with other Christians. It's not about how much we do or how much we give or how much time we spend or how well we know the Bible or how experienced we are or how committed we are compared with others. No, the issue is the attitude of our hearts and our relationship with Christ. Do we love him? Let's not get into pride about how we're better than other Christians. Like Peter, let's learn humility. But let's also learn humility before Jesus, in that what Peter keeps saying, isn't he, in response, is, Jesus, you know. You know all about me. I thought I knew about myself, Peter seems to be saying. Look, back in John 13, at the foot washing incident, he said, look, I will go with you, I'll die for you, I'll follow you no matter what. He thought he knew himself, he thought he knew his commitment, he thought he knew what he could do, but Jesus knew. Jesus says, no, you won't. You'll deny me three times. And who was right? Jesus was right. Jesus was always right. Whenever Peter challenged Jesus, Jesus proved to be right. And now, in humility, Peter says, look, Jesus, I don't really know myself. I don't really know anything. You know, Jesus. You know that I love you. And do we have that humility before Christ that Jesus is the one who knows? Peter says at the end, doesn't he? You know all things, Jesus. Do we trust that Jesus knows all things? And if Jesus knows all things, we trust that he knows better in all things. When we come to the Bible, do we come like so many people do and say, well, let's have a look at this and see if it fits with the way I think about things, see if it fits with my understanding of the world, see if it fits with what I think is right and wrong? Do we come with arrogance, testing if Jesus fits what we think is right, or do we come with humility, understanding that Jesus is the resurrected Lord and that what he says is true, and where we disagree with him, where we disagree with God's word, we need to realize that he is right, that he knows best, and accept what he says. We need to come before humility, come with humility before Jesus. You see, Jesus is preparing Simon Peter to be commissioned to serve him, to lead in the church, and the key things are that he loves Jesus, and he shows humility before Jesus. And both those things come across three times. But also what comes across three times is Jesus' commission of Peter. So we come to the threefold commission. And it shows that there is confidence in Jesus' grace and calling. You see, Simon Peter knew he'd failed Jesus. He knew he'd let him down. He knew he'd denied him three times. But this commission shows Peter that that does not matter. He is now forgiven. We can come to serve Christ not because of what we've achieved in the past, but because of what Jesus has achieved for us, his grace, his forgiveness. Again, Simon Peter was learning to have confidence not in what he had done, but confidence in Jesus' calling, in his grace. And we too, as we want to come, seek to come and serve, must be confident that whatever Jesus calls us to, and this call to serve the sheep is particular for Peter, Jesus will call us to different things. But we need to come to it not trusting that we've earned our place to do that, but trusting that we come by the grace of God and by the grace of Christ. And as we come to serve within the church, we need to see that we are one of the sheep that belong to Jesus. Jesus says, doesn't he, feed my sheep, care for my sheep. It's a reminder that Jesus is the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. They belong to him. They don't belong to us. That's where humility comes. When we serve a church, when we serve other Christians, they don't belong to us. They don't owe us anything. They belong to Christ. He's the one they owe everything to because he laid down his life for them. And we care for them not because we love them, or I hope we do love them, but primarily because we love Jesus and they belong to him and he loved them. And so our attitude to church and other Christians is not that we have a position of authority over them, but that we come to serve them because we want to serve Christ. Do we see how this issue of loving Jesus, this issue of humility before Jesus, transforms the way we serve within the church at whatever level? In this final encounter with Jesus, we see Peter as a transformed person through his encounters with Jesus throughout, through what's happened in the death, his death, Jesus' death and resurrection. But are we transformed in our encounter with Christ? As we read about Christ in the words of Scripture, as we come to put our trust in him and receive his Spirit in our lives, are we transformed so that we love Jesus, so that we're humble before Jesus, and so that Jesus can call us to serve him whatever way he likes? Where do you stand with Christ? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth. And we pray that you would enable us to see Jesus, to encounter him for ourselves, that we may come to love him more than anything else. And in loving him, come to humbly accept that he knows best. And in loving him and humbly accepting that he knows best, be ready to serve him in whichever way he calls. In your name we pray. Amen.